Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Tuesday, March the 2nd, 2021. And I have the honor to have Professor Powell on and Professor Joe both. And today we're going to talk about targeted individuals, dead whistleblowers, the American people that are putting out truth, how you're being targeted, because I think they need to know. But I want to bring up something I think that's important that I saw on the local news this morning. That a town in Iowa and Missouri that they brought in 2,300 vaccinations, folks, doses for the entire town, and put the town on alert that they would have them. The police come over and get vaccinated, and only 700 stupid fools showed up. Now there's your third. You brought up yesterday's show, Joe, about a third of mankind in the plague. This might be it. Dead. It's in the Bible. With that said, I'm going to let Joe pick it up, because he knows a hell of a lot of people. He himself has been targeted just like I have, constantly targeted. And so we're going to bring it up. And besides the targeting of all this dirty stuff within government, like trafficking in children and all the other stuff that these individuals have been targeted, the kidnapping of kids, the aliens abductions, the whole bit. We're going to try to cram it all in it within this hour. With that said, Joe, would you go first, please?
Okay, I'm going to give everybody a little history out there. Because what Stu and I have been doing has been going on since the early 90s, for some of us in the late 80s. Nobody really got a grip on it. There were a few people that were doing their thing, like Estes Mullins and some of those guys, and Dr. John Coleman. But there were those of us who had things happen to us that we couldn't make heads or tails of. You got to remember that Stu was just a construction guy trying to make his money. He had been in the Marine Corps, and he met up with a gal that he wanted to date. He wanted a girlfriend, and so he hooked up with Leonard Melman's daughter. And you got to remember, at the time, he didn't know any of this stuff. I didn't know any of this stuff. He just heard about a little bit of it. So all during the 90s and the early 2000s, these issues would come up, and Stu became one of those that was, for whatever reason, was involved in it. And he began giving talks around the United States. And one of the places that he came was here in Phoenix, Arizona. And I used to attend his talks during the 90s. And he had a buddy named Brian Quigg. Brian Quigg and some other gentlemen started a little newspaper called Grapevine. And the Grapevine was a paper that was a real creative way of spreading the news about what these men had learned about the power brokers behind the scenes. Now, part of this is the use of tipping. This is where they put a chip in you and they monitor you and they do nasty things. So the Grapevine began spreading some of these stories. And two of the sources of the Grapevine was Stu Webb and Brian Quigg. And they would write their stories, or Brian would write their stories and tell about these tales that included particularly Arizona. And for whatever reason, Arizona became a center of the Patriot Movement. Like, for instance, one of the early progenitors of Contact Newspaper and the Eckers, and by the way, the Eckers were good friends with Stu. Stu was good friends with the Eckers. In fact, they bailed him out of jail. And so the origin of Contact started here in Phoenix, and it was started by the Eckers. Okay, so you have a little bit of a background there. So in the newspaper, Grapevine and Contact became these stories. And one of the sources, again, was Brian Quigg and Stu Webb.
Gunther Rusbacher.
And people. And that were of prominent residents of Denver, Colorado, Los Angeles, California, Washington, D.C., Phoenix, Arizona. And so what came out of this were many tales, and one of them that we're going to talk about today is Stu Webb. And that is because he's been a targeted individual. I've been a targeted individual. I have two friends. One is at a mental health institution, and the other one is in a men's home, because they wanted his money, and they got it, over $1 million. So anyway, let's continue on, and Stu Webb is going to start explaining his encounters with what just recently happened to him at his father's old folks' home. So go ahead, Stu, pick up the story of the tale of the parking lot at his father's old folks' home.
Well, you know, I moved out here to Oak Grove, Missouri, to be near him, to keep from having the crap go on every time that I left the other house and it was too expensive and we were sharing it and I had to get out of there. Well, I got out here. I found something cheap. Anyway, here's the point. That during that 2-year time frame, every time I got on the freeway, I couldn't get on the freeway. I'd get on a different road. I had everybody on top of me. Now, I decided I would start tracking them back. So I played fool game on them a couple times, and it worked. And I was able to track one of them back and chase him downtown, folks. He turned out to be a cop working for Joint Task Force Group out of what's known as the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. Jean Baker. She's a witch. She's a dyke, by the way, and she's a friend of Claire McCaskill, who's a crook senator here. Now, all tied up with the crime syndicate, Bushes and all of them. But Gene Baker's office has a computer in there, of which I've been cyber attacked, folks. I've been on top of this for almost 7.5, pushing 8 years. I spent 20 hours a week on it. I got them nailed down finally. And I'm really getting ready to do a hammer job on it. But it comes down to the Jackson County prosecutor, Gene Baker's office. Building is used by this division number 5, which is incorporating local police. They use the FBI, they use the DEA, they use the highway patrolmen, the Joint Task Force Group, FBI they call them. They're there to monitor supposedly terrorists, and I'm on their terrorist watch list because I'm a whistleblower. I blew 4 congressional scandals out on my ex-father-in-law, HUD, Denver Airport, $20 billion over budget. HUD, Robin Hood, $8 out of $10, 500,000 apartment complexes. They stole the Keating 5, which was John McCain of Arizona, and they dubbed it the Keating 5, but it was actually the MDC 200, MDC, the parent company of Silverado Savings, where Neil Bush was director. But the MDC 200 funneled money, and this is where Brian Quigg came in, by the way. Brian Quigg helped me with the LaRock law firm put Charles Keating's ass in jail. It was really the two of us, what we supplied Don West, the private investigator who's now dead. They murdered him over it. They threatened the LaRock law firm. They committed all kinds of fraud in that case. Anyway, they dubbed it the Keating 5. Now, 2 days before Brian Quigg dies, he's supposedly digging in a trash can, the story was. And he was put on a cart with a couple boxes in it or something from the trash can. They shoved him in front of a car and killed him down there in Phoenix. 2 days beforehand, he saw Charles Keating, because he told me. He saw him in a grocery store, and he told him, he says, "What are you doing out of jail early?" And Keating went off on him. He said, "You're dead." Now, whether it's Keating did it or not, I don't know. And Keating's now dead. But Brian ended up dead. I could tell you story after story after story like this. But I caused those 4 congressional investigations, and then they made me a federal whistleblower, put me in jail with terroristic death threats. Only 3 people ever charged. I was one of them. False charges out of Denver by my ex-in-laws and my ex-witch doctor. Now, what got me chasing them was the fact that she tried to murder our daughter. She was satanically raised. I did not know. She's been married 5 times, folks. Her pattern was the same. 3 years of good marriage, living together, courting, dating for about a year, then living or being married for a couple of years, and then all hell breaks loose. It's called the abused child, now adult syndrome. And anybody look it up, and it's what happened. But they bribed a judge. She had arrest warrants for attempted murder on my daughter, and they bribed a judge and let her walk, and then turns around and cuts my parental rights off under a default judgment of which I didn't even know occurred. Threatens my attorney to murder him and his family, and that's the reason he resigned from the case. Then I'm out looking for an attorney. He's telling me, they're all telling me they want $250,000 because I've got to double the bribe to the judge of $150,000 that my ex-father-in-law paid, and et cetera. Why I'm running around doing that, trying to find an attorney, finally found some guy for about $25,000, and I take something over to file to court, and they said, oh, you're too late, your appeal time's up. Your 30-day appeal time. There was a default judgment against you. Now, that's what happened to me, so I got pissed off and started digging on Grandpa that I never knew anything about. And he turns out to be Bush's crime syndicate member, the Jewish mob in this country. He took over Meyer Lansky's, which he was fallen angel possessed, and now Larry Mizell has that fallen angel in him, who he handed over $100 trillion to when he died in 2004. That's basically my story. Now, I was held as a political prisoner for 10.5 months. I met 2,000 Iran-Contra players, super spook Otis Johnson that busted the Louisiana governor, the guy that busted John Gotti. I met them all, pilots of Iran-Contra. I met Bo Abbott, DEA pilot. There's a video up there on him, on my YouTube channel, I think it is. Noriega, the guy busted Noriega, Bob Hunt, naval intelligence that was on the tarmac besides busting Noriega, and then he gets thrown in with me because he didn't kill him. Bush is on the phone, killing. He says, Mr. President, we've already captured him. He's in handcuffs. I'm here to arrest him. I want him dead. He wouldn't do it, so he got thrown in there for not following orders and killing him. Got thrown in with me in Springfield. He was talking about, hey, Stu, you want to escape with me? I've been thinking about escaping, running up that. He said, you can do it. And I said, yeah, I could. But I want to get the fuck out of here and not have him hunting me the rest of my life. Now, Bob ended up dead 6 months after he got out of the place. They shot and killed him in the head in a hotel down in Wichita, Kansas. I can tell you the horror stories. But there were 500 federal agents locked up with me, too. Many of these people are still my friends. Defrauding America was written. Drugging America was written from the people that I met down there. Now, Gunther Rusbacher is written about in defrauding America. He's a super spook. He's one of the first I came across Al Martin. He was the one that brought the fact of October surprise really happened, except he lied to Ross Perot during the election of 92, and so Ross cut him off. But Ross would always talk to me all the time. I'd call him up and give him new information. I mean, that's how tight things were. I had journalists. There's many, many books. There's 15 books written that I've contributed to, folks. My name doesn't appear. They only appear in about six of them. Fuck, if I told every scandal that I've done, they would have whacked me a long time ago. Now, in 97, I got a subpoena to go before a grand jury that they burned them on and burned my Ross Perot, actually set the damn thing up early on in a sting operation after they tried to kill Reagan. And Reagan says, hey, I'm going to make you an oversight over the CIA. I think they were involved in my attempted murder. So he put him in there, along with five other men. And he resigns later in protest over drugs and so forth. CIA is hauling. But before he did, he set up a 300-man operation that went after Gotti, went after the drugs with Bush and everything. And the guy that busted John Gotti for the drugs was in the jail cell with Otis Johnson. They both were spooks. Now, both of them ended up in prison for quite a while. The guy that was running the operation for Ross Perot was in there. He would walk out. He was in there to monitor the Silverado boys all being transferred up in there. And that was the drug money. And they laundered $12 trillion in 9 years at Silverado. My ex-father-in-law owned Silverado Savings Loan, Neil Bush, director, the president of the United States at the time. His daddy, George Herbert Walker Bush, which collapsed in 1990 because of me. They didn't like that. So I got held. The charges were dismissed against me. The judge screamed, who was appointed because some other judge, I went back and prayed about it, and God got rid of that judge's son, and he was in mourning, so therefore they appointed new judges, and I got Richard Mates, which was an honest judge. And he screamed at the prosecutor for wasting $750,000 of the taxpayers' money trying an innocent man. And he apologized to me on behalf of the court and the government. I mean, I've been down the path. Now, I got pissed off. I decided I'm going to go create an army. So I started doing speeches because I was invited out to Denver to a TV show out there at 11:30 in the morning they did. And I went on it. And then I did several videos with somebody else. And I started getting invited doing speeches and ran around the country in 94 trying to create an organization called GOLD, Guardian of American Liberties, for the purpose of building an army. a militia army, because the people were out of control, these people within government, and at some point I knew that the people have to shut it down. It has to come to a halt. Now, we're way beyond that now. We're a point, I've seen too many people killed, I've seen too many people harassed, I've seen too many people fall out of the Patriot community because they get scared to death, they get targeted. I'm aware that out of Stonar Technology, E-Systems of Dallas, Daddy Bush's company, Raytheon Corp., that they have the West Star series of satellites to steal elections, change the numbers on the voting machines, and the whole bit. But it also has called Stonar, S-T-O-N-E-R Technology. And they shoot people. And after 5 years, what it does is it breaks down your immune system because it zaps the potassium, magnesium, calcium, and zinc out of your body. And they hit people in the middle of the night. After a while, you start cramping up like I do. I feel them wake me up. They woke me up this morning around 5 o'clock this morning. I'm on the list. Otis Johnson went into national security records, and he says, you asked me, you're on it. He says, and there's 6 other people in Kansas City on it. I said, well, who are the others? He says, I can't tell you that, Stu. He says, you're lucky to get me to go into those records to see if you're on it. I was able to do it. I'm giving you confirmation. You're on the list. Now, other people are on the list. My phone is hacked all the time, screwed with, hung up, dials up numbers all of a sudden out of nowhere when they get hooked in here. Now, I've figured out the locations of all this stuff, and I narrow it down, being a targeted individual, have done what I have done for the exposure of these crimes that they've done. If you go to my website, I'll reference it, you'll find in the breaking news column, the cyber terrorist attacks, which are illegal. It's a 10 to 20 year crime for each time that you do something to someone's website like that. Minimum 10 years, federal prison, maximum 20. You could go in and see where the entire network of the United States government, that is the internet, the telephone system, and everything are intertwined with Jerusalem, with Israel, Tel Aviv, etc. Intertwined with Bluffdale, Utah, the secret underground base. Intertwined with Cheney Reservoir near Wichita, Kansas, Atlanta, Georgia, St. Louis, Missouri, Langley, Virginia, and Florida. They're all intertwined. And it's the system is owned by an Israeli private company that the United States government leases, if you can believe that, folks. It's called Cogent Co., Key Systems, Inc. Now, if you go to my site, punch in cyber attacks, in the search bar, it'll come up a lot of pages. Now, if you want to see the most recent one, to show you an example of what I'm talking about, because of 7 years of keeping them off my site, doing this for free, to try to get the word out to the American people all the time, and few of you have helped me and support me from time to time, and I appreciate that, believe me. But you don't know the amount of hours I got in trying to save this country. And it hasn't gotten me anywhere. Now, here's what you can see on the breaking news column. You'll see cyber U.S. government and Israel cyber attacks against Stu Webb. It's right in the breaking news column. It's posted up there about a week and a half ago. You'll see Cheney Reservoir. You will also see it goes back to where? Israeli servers in Israel. That's an example of them using our government and popping it out of Israel. What were they doing? Well, take a look at it. Trying to log in my site, I think, a couple of times. There's a couple of felonies. Take those by, there's close to, well, it's right at 200,000 out of the million hits that I get. That's people coming, different IPs per month. Listen to shows. There's 200,000 of them that are constant cyber attacks. I will put something up today or tomorrow to show you 1,000 attacks in 24 hours or whatever it is in 24 hours. I'll put that up to show everybody what I blocked on my site. Now, this is what Whitney Webb is talking about, what you've been talking about, Joe, about hacking into everybody's systems. That goes on with me all the time. But the other part of it, and I can nail it down, comes to the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, a server inside there doing the attacks on my website. It also goes to a server that is within North Kansas City, Missouri, that is Google Fiber, which runs hit teams out of there for the FBI and for the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office and for the FBI, which is down on Ward Parkway. Now, they've got a server down there on Ward Parkway. And this is an example. They tried to murder me with a rollover using some black Somalians, Kenyans. I proved it on my website. It's up there. The money I would have received from the car rollover crash if they tried to murder me, trap me in, I would have received the $12,000. Instead, I'd put that into the PI's pocket to prove my innocence that I was not the one at fault. Because Grandview, Missouri police, as they're dragging me out through my by my feet, smashed up, broken neck, everything, thinking I'm going to die, they covered it up and told me they hadn't completed the report yet. They lied. And the evidence of phone calls and the whole bit, of which finally I got an attorney who wants to take them on, folks, take on Grandview for covering it up. If he says, if I live long enough, I'll take your other two cases. Three car crashes back to back. They cover it up. They cover it up for the government. Now, those are hit teams. Those hit teams were running out of a building with a server just north on Ward Parkway of the FBI building that's on north on Parkway. It's behind the new Quick Trip on State Line. That's the building. I forgot, 83-something Ward Parkway. A server was operating out of that. During that period of time that they were trying to kill me, after I'd healed up from the car rollover, they come back and crash another one twice. One of them was a drug dealer named Jay Stevens. Stevens Truck Driving School, part of Iran-Contra, picking up drugs from Ward Seth's warehouse down in Springfield and haul them up to Kansas City and to St. Joe's, Missouri. An IRS agent who caught him went on TV5 because he was laundering money through Silverado Savings that I turned in the IRS, and she calls me in 1990. She gets fired from the IRS for opening up the investigation on this guy. Here it's the same guy that turns around, tries to kill me, hit me on the left side at 65 miles an hour, and it didn't work. That was the last car crash. But during this period of time, they burned the customer's house to the ground, folks. It was empty. It was over in Shawnee Mission, over off State Line. I was remodeling this thing. Nice house. Brought up the value about 50 grand for him. I was almost completed with it, and they torched the damn thing. They poured gas all over and burned it. I'd been tracked the day before to the house for the first time. They hadn't gotten me. It was kind of hidden over there in Shawnee Mission off of a cul-de-sac, off of a cul-de-sac type deal. Now, they burned the house ground. I sat with the police department, sat with the fire department, told them the whole story, and the who was tracking me in the night, the day before, and it was a green Buick, etc. I tracked that. I was standing out there in shock, looking at this house that had been torched, talking to two of the neighbors wanting to know what the hell happened. I didn't know what happened. They burned it about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I see that green car pull down because he followed me again that day. So I said, listen, I got to go. I'll be back. I took off after him and followed him without him knowing. He went back to that building that they were operating that server out of. It's just north of the FBI building. It's where he was operating out of. Now, they're operating. I've chased them, folks, into the back of the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. A brand new, I forgot what it was. I wrote down, I got the license picture and everything. And before I got downtown into that district at 25 miles an hour, he was running lights, so was I. And all of a sudden, he got stuck. And I stood back two car lengths from him in case he got out of his car with a gun. I was going to run over his ass or shoot him. Anyway, I got two federal police white vehicles. I looked behind me. I said, oh, shit. I look over to my left rear mirror, and he's sitting right beside him, behind me. So I had to cruise 25, and I saw him take a right down there, and I took a right, and he goes right into a gated private parking lot, several stories, four or five, six stories, whatever it was, behind the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office. Now, I've got them all tied together, division number five. And then they're operating out of a place out in Lee Summit, Missouri. And they call up my phone to hook into my phone all the time, and I'd have to delete them if they made the connection. Then I have to pull the batter out, the chip out, and go through all this every day. This is part of being targeted. Now, the car chases, I'm going to put up some video where you see they'll come right up on my bumper to try to crash me, get in that wind current, playing their game. I'll actually slam my brakes off to push them off, and sometimes they back off, sometimes they won't. I got a recent car chase of that. I had one recently that I did not video. I have video cameras on my windows, both front and rear, and they're limited, the number of hours before this starts rolling over itself. So I kept that video and didn't have the video plugged in. I'm down at a nursing home down the street, and I got a couple clowns deciding they're going to start staking me out there. And I see one of them running around in this old 1990-something or 2000-something old red Grand Am, no rear tag. So I start down the street, and he comes right up on me. He's got this light that's huge, illegal. So bright, it's blinding me. I pulled off the road. I got off the road. He decides he wants to follow me, so I decide to have a little follow him. Then he takes off running. I take off running. He does a U-turn. I follow him back. The police department's right in front of the nursing home, folks. He pulls in the police department. I pull in there nice and easy, and he's sitting there talking to some cop that's standing out there. I pull up there, and he says, "What's going on?" I said, "Well, this guy's acting like a fool running around down here by the nursing home. Now he's wanting to chase me, and he's got this huge light on that's illegal." He says, "Well, I got this under control," the cop says. So I snapped a picture, folks. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just getting a little proof of evidence of that license plate," because he had a front number on him. And I stuck it in my brain. I have a photographic memory. It was RB2 something, and I wrote it down. I'd start out of the parking lot, pull up the stop sign, take a left, and he comes swinging out of there, runs through the stop sign. He gets right up on my ass. I pulled the middle where the turning lane was and stopped. He nearly clipped me, and he runs down the road at 80 miles an hour. Who's he working for? Stand out to cops, and the cops aren't arresting him for speeding up down the road? That's the kind of harassment I get all the time. With that said, I'll pass it back to either one of you gentlemen.
Go ahead, Paul. Stu, your experience as a whistleblower certainly identified you to be gang stalked, to be a targeted individual. You are one of the very few living whistleblowers that I'm aware of, and it seems to me that whistleblowers are dealt with swiftly and without mercy.
They got a little problem, a little bit more than a lot of these guys. I was trained as a Marine. They come after me, I'm gonna hurt them. Plus, I got God on my side.
You know a lot of people, and as the years go by, we all get longer in the tooth, and you're, I don't know, I think you and Terry Reed are the only two that I know that I've followed over the years anyway.
Look at what happened to Terry. Let's talk about that for a minute. They took guns, folks. The FBI came to him and shoved a gun in his wife's face. Right in her mouth. Stuck one in his mouth. Several goons. "Hey, you have to take our Justice Department's offer. $200,000, or we're going to kill you right here on the spot. We'll let you continue selling your book, Clinton Bush and the CIA. Clinton Bush and the CIA. You can sell your book on Amazon. Go ahead, Terry. But if you ever talk again, you're dead." He sticks his hand out. "Head, take the $200,000. They tried doing that to me one time with a phone call. I said, "Hey, screw you. You're going to end up dead." This is FBI saying this to me. And that's the number. "Oh, you're a whistleblower in this country. Take your $200,000. Go down the road." They offered me $7 million, Millman did, in secret, through the former prosecutor of Denver, Colorado. Willington Webb was his name. No relationship. A black man. That was working private security for Martin Marietta. He was in charge now, writing children's books, and he offers me $7 million to shut up, go away after they told me I couldn't go in the grand jury room in 1997 that Ross Perot stung my ex-father-in-law for $80 million fine. I couldn't go in that grand jury. They were going to arrest me. The next day, they killed it, sealed it all under national security, and over 250 federal agents, prosecutors, and everybody took bribes from Millman and Silverado and Neil Bush and all of them, and they all escaped it. Nobody got caught except for Federico Pena, the former mayor, and he took a $2.5 million bribe from Phil Wynn, who was on the board of directors of MDC, who was the HUD scamster, the whole bit. He paid him a $2.5 million bribe to vote for the Denver airport. Guess what? He had to resign his position as Secretary of Energy in 1997 because he was under a federal indictment, and he agreed to pay a fine and not go to jail. Guess what his fine was? $1.5 million. He got to keep $1 million of his bribe because he already spent it. Nobody went to jail. Millman paid $80 million fine. Mizell paid $10 million. Brownstein, the two APEC directors, paid $10 million each. 250 federal agents, prosecutors, judges, state officials all escaped being prosecuted for bribery. That's what goes on, folks. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you're always a step ahead of me. You have an agile mind. The head of Hydra is the USSA government, which, of course, then connects to the one world government. And Stu, where do you think things are at in 2021? You have recent experiences, and my heart sinks when you tell me you're going over to the nursing home. I know that's the nexus, that's, you got to travel. That's a perfect spot where they can view you, where they can mess with you. You're now in a different housing arrangement. And I don't know if it's better than the last one or not. I always liked your last one, I think, because I felt like at least there was some stability and you actually had neighbors that could look out for you. Now you're in a different situation. Are things any better now? Are things worse? And then you take your situation and maybe make a general statement about other targeted individuals. You are exceptional in that you're still alive and that you did trigger congressional investigations. You were the primary source in 6 books, and 15 others were written, some using you anonymously and others choosing not to use you because they didn't want to get blowback. I know I'm all over the place, but where are we at now with TI gang stalking? And it seems to me, and this is just a broad statement, I look around me and I see the technology outside my home, inside my home. We live in a surveillance state. The way I describe the world and our government is it is a scientific technocracy, a scientific dictatorship. And what they've done is they have filmed, recorded, monitored, they've collected data on all of us. They know where we are at all times. They've tried to hack our brains. They've tried to use voice-to-school technology to shape our thoughts. They use any means possible so that they can have this scientific dictatorship. How widespread is your experience, and what do you know about the experience of others in the TI gang stalking realm?
Well, I want to add something too, because a lot of people don't remember this, but I was anthraxed once. So was Al Martin, because of that U.S. attorney in Denver that was supposed to do his job after I was allowed to appear before a grand jury. Now, that's never happened. And I got thrown in the jail cell, anthrax, for making a phone call at a payphone, North Denver. Martin got thrown in, and later he got out, but he got anthrax. Now, when you get anthrax, folks, you got to, if you survive it, there were, well, let me add some more dead body count here of people I know. Russell Welch, state highway patrolman in Arkansas, the one that was running the main investigation against Clinton's. I was hiding from the FBI and providing him with information all the time. They anthrax had killed him in 1996. I got anthrax in 1994. There were 27 or 28 of us got anthraxed. We all were networking together. 12 survived. They survived because of Hannah Kruger. Hannah'sHerbShop.com. Hannah Kruger. She came up with a formula on top of the fact we were all taking 90-day doses, 90 days of 500 milligrams a day of, God, what was the name of that stuff?
Doxycycline.
And it was the guy that served in the Gulf War, because I helped expose the Gulf War syndrome with Hal Martin and some others. And that was Millen making the stuff in Fruta, Colorado, Daddy Bush shipping it down to Boca Raton, contaminating the ocean out there in the intercoastal waterway. That was something else. All this crime all the time. Part of my teeth and my head fell out. Like Garth Nicholson, the doctor that served over there and got a grant to come up with why everybody was coming home with Gulf War syndrome. It's because they mixed up a batch down there for those, and they were having deformed children because of this. And this was Millman again, and Bush. Barbudi, the one they got all over the news right now, his brother was the terrorist, lives in Akbar, Jordan, that was shipping the shit to Iraq. Now, making it down there, it had anthrax, cyanide, HIV, and hepatitis, either A, B, or C in it. And they sold him, and he put it in the Scud missiles Saddam Hussein did that rained down on our troops, which caused them Gulf War syndrome when they came home. Now, Garth Nicholson found out it was anthrax, and they had to take 90 days of doxycycline to get rid of their anthrax. They had mild doses. I got a direct hit. It nearly killed me. I mean, I was in a chair crapping in my pants, going to the bathroom, laying in the tub, trying to shower off because I didn't have any energy. It went on for nearly 30 days. I survived it. Three of my top teeth on the right side fell out because of the anthrax. Al Martin had the same thing happen. Garth Nicholson had the same thing happen. Several other people reported the same thing, including Darlene Novinger, FBI agent that got anthrax and killed. Her mother killed. There's an interview of her and me up there. We were good friends. Here's another point. Here's the technology you asked for, Paul. How is the police state so heavy? Folks, this is the honest to God's truth. I'm in here working on the internet, on my website, and I'm banging off some big boys. I'm closing them down so they can't screw my site up. You go to my site and it loads in 5 to 15 seconds. That's fast because they're blocked. You go to these other sites and they drag and they drag and they drag because they're being hit and they don't even know how to stop it. Now, I'm sitting in my computer and all of a sudden I'm getting blinded. I'm like covering my eyes. And all of a sudden I'm seeing a laser beam shooting out of my computer screen. I jumped up, got the hell away from it, shut my phone off because I'm doing a Wi-Fi hotspot. And I shut it off and I shut my computer down. Day to 2 days later, three of my teeth on my left side all fall out. One falls out first. That was before I noticed the laser beam. It just cracked off. I pull it down. It wasn't even decayed. It's why I'm chewing some food. And then about a month later, it happens again with the laser beam that I see. Two more teeth are gone. This is Big Brother police state. They have the capability of seeing you have sex with your wives in your bedroom when your TV's off. They're capable of killing you, electrocuting you with your telephone. They blew up the battery in my telephone. I had to buy a new phone about, when was this, Paul? 3 weeks ago?
Yes, it was.
And if I hadn't been here at 12 o'clock looking at something on the news and seen all of a sudden the thing fired up and I would have been asleep instead, I would have been dead. It took 3 hours to get the smell of the battery out of here. Anyway.
Well, here's where we're at. I think we're up against the 55-minute mark. And I think we close it down today on this.
We're at about 39, actually. But I would like for Joe to jump in on a few of the comments, but I want you to go ahead, Paul.
Well, what I want is for listeners to have a perspective, a personal perspective about what's happening with you with TI and keg stocking. My particular guess is you've got maybe 100 listeners that can identify with your experience. They don't quite have the backstory and the exact same gang stiping TI. But the bigger point that I'm maybe going to try and connect to the present day is you've been a trailblazer, and what I foresee, and certainly in the next 90 days, if someone is really a true believer of Jesus, a born again believer, be prepared to be rounded up or TI'd or gang stalked, because our USSA government now, with the Equality Act and some things that they're doing, they've announced a war first on Christians, real Christians, not the 90% that are, that went to church to figure out where they're going to lunch and get their nails done, but real believers are going to face some serious persecution, in my estimation, and I hope that I hope I prove myself worthy as you have.
Now, Joe, why don't you pick it up? Talk about, real quick, some of your knowledge of this. You yourself have been stalked as well. And, okay. And mention also about Whitney Webb, if you would, and this recent attack down there in Arizona.
All right, let's go backwards on this. Whitney Webb, unlimitedhangout.com. It's a little bit complicated to get into it, but look for Cyber Polygon, and that's going to be the next big event, big event that's going to happen, and that is, there's going to be an attack on cyberspace, and people wonder, well, what kind of attack is it going to be? Well, it's going to be hacking computers. Well, guess what? Yesterday, in Kingman, Arizona, the Kingman city government computers were hacked and they were shut down. So there you have it.
And where was Tim McVeigh, the Oklahoma City bomber, from? Kingman, Arizona, folks. That's where he was at before he did the bombing, supposedly. He didn't do the bombing. Go ahead.
So, expect in July, they're going to do a simulation. That means they're going to, I'm quite sure that the Kingman attack was an attack to get some of the kinks out of their plan. So I suspect there'll be some more shutdowns, but it's going to lead up to a simulation in July. Then sometime after July, they're going to shut down the whole thing.
Now, I think we're going to see, along with this, that's the silence, the First Amendment, because they're planning on taking the Second Amendment from you. They plan on vaccinating everybody in this country, and this is all Biden up there saying this stuff. He's going to do these things.
So, now going back further, there's going to be what you can go to vaccineyou.com, and there's a whole series of videos by Tenpenny, Dr. Tenpenny, and she explains the whole thing on the shots. Whatever you do, don't take the shots, because she's saying that from 3 to 6 months there's going to be an outbreak, of which there'll be silence about it, of where people are just going to die.
One of the nurses is picking up right now that there's 8 to 10% of the people who have taken the shot are now friggin' dead.
So we're going to go and see. In 4 years, they want the United States population to be down to around 100 million. And how are they going to do this? Through the shots. So take a look at that. Take a look that they're after. Look for more city governments to be hacked. This is their practice run, and it's all done out of Israel.
False flags, folks, false flags, building up to the bigger picture of getting the troops on the streets and taking the guns, because we've got all these terrorists in America who attacked the Capitol, who attacked the Capitol. Go ahead, Paul, or I mean Joe.
I have a question for you guys, and it relates to both Israel and vaccines. I'm scratching my head that two-thirds of Israelis have already been injected, received the first shot. Are they getting the real vaccine, or is this some sort of I'm just befuddled out in my mind.
Okay, what you're befuddled about, Paul, is could the Israelis carry off a synopsis of where a fake giving the vaccine, which would be maybe the vaccine bottles are just full of saline, and even the Israelis don't, many of the common Israelis don't know it. They could pull it off very easily. Very easily. And nothing will happen because I was, consider what happened during the Gulf War syndrome. How come there weren't more dead Israelis? Were they given secretly doxycycline to where they got cured? There wasn't a big drop of deaths in Israelis.
And there were some Scud missiles.
And none of them died.
And there were Scud missiles that went off on Israel from Saddam Hussein on the northern part.
Now, all of those Scud missiles were full of cocktails. Why weren't there more Israeli deaths? So it seems to me, and this feeds into what Paul and Stu and Charlene have been talking about, is dispensationalism. And I consider dispensationalism their plan, not God's plan, their plan. So if you want to know what's going to happen next, just get familiar with dispensationalism. Now, so that'll cover it right there.
Now Israel, Paul and Joe, throughout the New Testament, the Old Testament, Israel has been a problem over the years, basically. And the Old Testament seems to point that the Antichrist will rule from Jerusalem and so on and so forth. And he's going to carry out mass amounts of death upon the populations of the planet and the whole bit. Now, if we look at Israel and the control factor that they have over all the governments of the world, in particular the United States government, you got two APEC directors, Larry Mizell of Denver, the one that has the $100 trillion, the mortgage bank bailout scamster, everything else, Silverado boy. And you have Brownstein, who's the other Norman Brownstein, and one controls 50% of the pension funds almost, and the other controls 50% of the pension funds. And the 12 disciples of Satan have condensed down to 400 men controlling 95%+ of the economy. And Brownstone, Blackstone, BlackRock, which was the old Silverado drug money, took over basically the Federal Reserve and now has intertwined in with the U.S. Treasury. There's a story up there, Brownstone BlackRock, on my site explains it. Now, they have control of the money. They have control of the government. These two APEC directors feed the Congress and Senate. You can listen to an interview with Cynthia McKinney, former Congresswoman, great gal friend, on my web bar, on the bar, it says radio bar. Scroll down till you see her. It was down towards the bottom someplace. It was one of the first interviews. She's in there talking about APEC, APEC, APEC. They kept telling you have to sign the APEC agreement, which means Israel first over America or you don't become a congresswoman again. She didn't. They beat her by one vote, supposedly. She wouldn't sign the APEC agreement. Israel first. 90% of the Congress and Senate have signed that APEC agreement. According to Otis Johnson, 6 out of 10 congressmen are chipped in Israel. They make a trip to Israel and they gas the room up. They put him to sleep, and the doctor comes in, and he does his thing and puts the chip behind her ear. He said the others are mind screwed. They're mind controlled. This is what Super Spook said. This is our government. Now, I want to add something. When you look at the testimony of these fake dossiers they did to Donald Trump, the Hillary Clinton produced with Jeb Bush, and John McCain was involved with it, and a whole bunch of people. And Strux of the FBI, this punk that was working CIA running hit teams with Division Number 5 and so on and so forth, was probably the one that ordered me to be murdered. Now that guy gets up before the Congress and testifies, and Jim Jordan, a great guy, congressman from Ohio, and Gatz, good guy, and Nunes and DeSantis, good guys, all drilled that punk. And they drilled Comey, and they drilled those other arrogant punks. And if you looked at their attitude, and here they are violating the law, and they're so arrogant. And these people walk off with a $5 million severance pay when they retire, paid out over a three-year period of time because of their position within government. These are the people running your government. Who's above the president? This is my point. There's 13 men above the president. Al Martin used to tell me, he wouldn't tell me Leonard Millman was one of them. It was Super Spook, Otis Johnson, and some of his buddies, and other people told me about the 13. They're possessed by aliens, and they control the president. Now, the 13 above the president, we got 333,000 fallen angels down here, according to Genesis, that fell. And that's in the Bible, had a war in heaven. And Otis said that under the 1952 to 2012 agreement that they made with the aliens, our government did, that they registered 200,000 of them are registered with the National Security Agency, are possessed by these aliens. They're fallen angels is what Otis used to call them, not aliens, but the government calls them aliens. The second point is, they cloned 10 million plus people in Hope, Arkansas since the 1940s. It's all real. They don't have a conscience or a soul. Now, if the devil starts chaos, he's got all the control of the money. He's got control of all the phones, the communication systems. People are dying because of the 5G towers. We're lit up with chemtrails. We got weather modification and weather wars going on with the alien technology again called HARP. Our planet's tilting. The moon's out of whack because they shot it with a missile. Everything points to where the only thing you're going to have is the power of God behind you. You better not take the vaccination. You better keep your Second Amendment right in your pocket. You better get ready to fight a war. Because this may be the David and Goliath story we may have to come up against. Then again, maybe not. I don't know. I'll let you two gentlemen close it. How's that? With your thoughts.
Yeah, we need to close it, Paul. Go ahead and start.
Yes. Well, first of all, I just want to thank, Stu, you for your candor, for your honesty. And I know that I asked you to do this, and you have my respect and appreciation. And Joel, we got to break bread recently, and it was so awesome. And I'm just thankful for you guys. And the thing I'm going to encourage is I think we need listener input. If a listener has questions or wants more information or a topic that we're not addressing or things that we're missing, Stu can be reached at his website. And so this is a collaborative effort, and I am of the opinion that God Almighty, the Holy One, the King of Kings, is our real hope at this point. But while we're still in carnal form, sentient form, I don't know whether the new kingdom is a spiritual kingdom or a physical kingdom. They're just things I don't know. But right now we're physical bodies, and we need connections, and I think the best thing we can do is make connections. Stu set me up here in Minnesota with a number of people, and I'm grateful for that. And I guess I'm just going to close by saying thank you guys, and we look forward to any information that we glean from our research.
I kind of think it'd be a good idea. Let's go ahead and shut down the show and stay on the in contact, because I believe you still have some questions you want hashed out. And Stu will stay on the phone, I'll stay on the phone, and then we'll shut down the show.
Hey, I'll stop the show in case you two want to add something, okay?
Example.